The remittance basis for non-domicile taxpayers only applies in tax years where the individual is resident in the UK. Remittances to the UK in a tax year of non-residence are not taxable. To prevent avoidance of tax by non-domicile taxpayers, Finance Act 2008 brought in the Temporary Non-Residence Rules for Income Tax, now enacted as Section 832A of ITOIA 2005. Section 832A applies where an individual uses the remittance basis for a year and he is UK resident for 4 of the 7 tax years before becoming non-UK resident, and he returns to the UK within 5 tax years and resumes UK residence, and in the intervening period he has remitted foreign income to the UK which arose before his departure. In this case, Section 832A will tax the individual on the remitted income in the year of return to the UK. Section 832A is designed to prevent non-UK domiciliaries stacking foreign income offshore, then becoming non-UK resident for a short period, say 1 tax year, making large remittances to the UK in the non-resident year, then coming back to the UK to enjoy their offshore income free of UK tax. Section 832A only applies to foreign income for the year of departure or an earlier year. Therefore, if foreign income is received following departure and is paid into a UK bank account, Section 832A cannot treat that foreign income as being remitted, even if the taxpayer becomes resident again within 5 years. Section 832A will therefore only catch individuals who remit existing or pre-stacked foreign income in the intervening period. Section 832A only applies to income which is taxable when remitted. It does not apply to income which has already been taxed on an arising basis. By way of illustration, Nathan is Australian. He came to the UK in 2002 to work as a software engineer for a UK motor manufacturer. His contract ended in January 2008 and he returned to Australia. He had always used the remittance basis while living in the UK. His UK salary was sufficient to meet his UK living costs and he made no remittances. In January 2010, he was offered a contract by a UK bank to work in London. The contract's start date was July 2010. In March 2010, in advance of his move back to the UK, Nathan transferred £50,000 from his bank account in Jersey to his UK bank as a deposit on a flat in London. The £50,000 is made up of accumulated interest and dividend income from offshore investments. Nathan resumed UK residence in June 2010. Section 832A will apply as he was UK resident for 4 of the 7 tax years before becoming non-UK resident in 2007-08, and he returned to the UK within 5 tax years and resumes UK residence in 2010-11, and in the intervening period he has remitted foreign income to the UK which arose before his departure. Nathan will therefore be taxed on a remittance of £50,000 in 2010-11. This will be the case whether or not he claims the remittance basis for 2010-11, as the income arose in a year when the remittance basis was used. The £50,000 will be taxed as non-savings income. Section 832A was enacted by Finance Act 2008, and therefore catches remittances from 2008-09 onwards. However, it can act to tax pre-2008 foreign income. For example, the £50,000 remitted by Nathan in the above example could have arisen in 2007-08 or earlier. Even though this is pre-April 2008 foreign income, as it is remitted after the 5th of April 2008, this old income would still be liable to tax under Section 832A. Turning now to the long-term residence charge introduced from 2008-09. The long-term residence charge is also known as the remittance basis charge, or RBC. This charge applies if an individual has made a claim for remittance basis, is 18 or over in the relevant tax year, and has been resident in the UK for at least 7 of the previous 9 tax years. Such individuals can only use the remittance basis if they agree to pay a tax charge of £30,000 per tax year. This tax charge will be in addition to any UK tax on income and gains actually remitted in the tax year. The broad effect of the long-term residence charge is that non-domiciled taxpayers who are caught by the charge will therefore have two choices. They will either not claim the remittance basis and thereby pay UK tax on all their foreign income as it arises, or claim the remittance basis and thereby keep their unremitted foreign income outside the reach of UK tax, but at a cost of £30,000 per annum. It is therefore envisaged that very wealthy non-domiciled taxpayers will continue to claim the remittance basis and will pay the new charge, rather than having their substantial worldwide income exposed to UK tax, while less wealthy non-domiciled taxpayers will no longer claim the remittance basis and will instead pay UK tax on unremitted foreign income. This will put them on the same footing as UK domiciled taxpayers. Some moderately wealthy taxpayers will have to prepare comparative calculations each year to see which option is more beneficial. The election to use or not use the remittance basis must be made every year, so taxpayers can switch year on year if it suits them. There will be some non-domiciled taxpayers who will not be affected by the long-term residence charge. The £30,000 rule does not apply to non-domiciled taxpayers who have unremitted foreign income and gains of less than £2,000 per annum. As such taxpayers do not have to claim the remittance basis, it applies automatically, they will not be caught by the charge. Or taxpayers who have not been resident for 7 of the last 9 years. Such individuals can claim to use the remittance basis for foreign income without any tax penalty, apart from a possible loss of personal allowances. Or taxpayers under the age of 18 at the end of the tax year, i.e. the charge will start to bite in the tax year in which the taxpayer becomes 18. The extra tax of £30,000 will be payable via the self-assessment system. HMRC has confirmed that if a taxpayer meets this charge from an offshore source, the payment of the tax itself will not constitute a remittance. This will only be the case where the payment is made direct to HMRC by cheque or electronic transfer. The £30,000 charge is a tax charge on unremitted income or gains. This means that the taxpayer will choose what unremitted income or gains the £30,000 tax is paid on. The £30,000 will therefore either be income tax or CGT, and will be treated as such for the purposes of double tax relief. Long-term residents within the charge will nominate income and gains. This means that an individual can decide what unremitted foreign income or gains the £30,000 tax charge is paid on. When those nominated income or gains are finally remitted to the UK, there will be no further tax to pay on them. However, ordering rules set out in the legislation mean that in any tax year, any previously unremitted foreign income and gains will be regarded as remitted before any of the nominated foreign income and gains. In practice, this will mean that individuals will not get any credit for the £30,000 tax unless and until they bring all their foreign income and gains into the UK. The £30,000 charge will normally be available for credit in the taxpayer's home country. Therefore, in many cases, the new rules will not increase the overall worldwide tax bill of the non-domiciled client. Instead, it will mean that it is the UK Treasury who will pocket the money, rather than the overseas tax authorities. Let's run through a numerical illustration to show you how the £30,000 charge will affect the UK tax computation. Roman is Russian. He is resident, ordinarily resident, and non-domiciled. He has lived in London for the last 10 years, running a variety of businesses. His total income for 2010-11 is as follows. He has some UK director's fees of £100,000, UK rental income of £80,000, and net UK bank interest of £16,000. He has some foreign property income of £95,000 and some foreign bank interest, received gross, of £30,000. In March 2011, he remitted £50,000 of his foreign rental income to his bank account in London. We will calculate Roman's tax liability for 2010-11. First, we will assume that Roman wants to use the remittance basis, so he makes a claim under Section 809B. His UK tax liability will be as follows. We tax the UK director's fees of £100,000, the UK rental income of £80,000, and his UK bank interest, which we gross up to £20,000. Roman is non-domiciled and claims to only pay tax on foreign income remitted to the UK. £50,000 of his foreign rents have been remitted, so this is taxable. He will not receive a personal allowance as he is claiming to use the remittance basis. Roman's taxable income is therefore £250,000. Taxable income is £250,000. Tax is charged at 20% on the first £37,400, 40% on income up to £150,000, and at 50% on the balance, giving tax of £102,520. Roman is subject to the £30,000 long-term residence charge, as he is non-domiciled. He has been resident for at least 7 years out of the last 9, and is claiming to use the remittance basis. We therefore add £30,000 to his tax to give him a tax liability, before tax credits, of £132,520. Now let's assume that Roman does not wish to use the remittance basis, so does not make a claim under Section 809B. Roman will now be taxed on his worldwide income, irrespective of how much he remits to the UK. His taxable income in the UK will now be as follows. Again, we tax his UK salary, UK rental income, and his UK bank interest. However, as he has not claimed to use the remittance basis, all of his foreign income is taxable as it arises. We therefore now tax his foreign rental income of £95,000 and the interest of £30,000 on his foreign bank account. As Roman has not claimed the remittance basis, he is entitled to claim a personal allowance. However, this will be tapered away by £1 for every £2 of net income over £100,000. As such, the PAs will be reduced to nil, and taxable income is £325,000. Taxable income is £325,000. Tax is charged at 20% on the first £37,400, 40% on income up to £150,000, and 50% on the balance, giving tax of £140,020. Roman is not subject to the £30,000 long-term residence charge this time, as he has not claimed to use the remittance basis. His tax liability, before tax credits, is therefore £140,020. If we compare the two results, we see that Roman should therefore use the remittance basis for 2010-11. In 2010-11, it will be cheaper for him to pay the £30,000 tax charge rather than being taxed on his worldwide income. You will note that this decision is marginal for this taxpayer, so he will presumably have to carry out these sort of comparative calculations each year before deciding whether or not to claim the remittance basis. If a taxpayer is liable to pay the long-term residence charge, he must nominate the income or gains to be the subject of the charge. There is a box on the self-assessment return, box 35, whereby HMRC want to see the precise income and gains nominated, including the country of origin and source of income. This means that box 35 should give details of the bank account and account number of the nominated income and the source of the income in that account. Assume, therefore, that foreign bank interest is nominated to be subject to the charge, and the non-domiciled client pays UK tax at 40%. The client could therefore nominate £75,000 of interest to be subject to the long-term residence charge, which at 40% would generate a charge of £30,000. However, taxpayers don't have to nominate £75,000. They could nominate a smaller amount, and the legislation, section 809H, will automatically top up the charge to £30,000. Therefore, a nomination of £1 of foreign income is sufficient to generate a charge of £30,000. Section 809I talks about what happens if nominated income is actually remitted, i.e. funds from the nominated account are brought into the UK. If any nominated income or gains are ever actually remitted to the UK at a time when the taxpayer has any unremitted income or gains, Section 809J will apply. Section 809J lays down ordering rules, whereby all remittances will be deemed to be made in the following order. First, foreign income which has not been taxed in another country. Second, foreign chargeable gains which have not been taxed in another country. Third, foreign income which has been taxed in another country. And fourthly, foreign chargeable gains which have been taxed in another country. In effect, Section 809J creates a special deemed mixed fund of all unremitted income and gains, from which the taxpayer is then deemed to remit on a worst-first basis. This new mixed fund then exists for the rest of the taxpayer's life. This means that all future remittances will be deemed to be income first, irrespective of the actual nature of the remittance. Section 809J will therefore take priority over the actual mixed fund rules in Section 809Q, which we looked at earlier. Remember that Section 809J is only triggered by a remittance of nominated income and can therefore be avoided by keeping all nominated income outside the UK. The advice to taxpayers is therefore never remit your nominated income. To ensure that nominated income is never remitted, even accidentally, advice to non-domiciled clients to avoid falling foul of Section 809J is as follows. First, set up a separate foreign bank account with a notional deposit, say £500. The account should be interest-bearing. It is crucial that the account generates annual income. That account will generate some interest, say £5. Then, if the long-term residence charge applies, £1 of interest is nominated from this account. This will be enough to generate the £30,000 charge and, finally, the taxpayer will never touch this account for any other purpose. This plan saves the need to disclose foreign sources, except the foreign account with the notional deposit. It also ensures that any future remittances to the UK will be dealt with under the normal tracing rules and will not be subject to the automatic deeming provisions in Section 809J. Therefore, an actual remittance of, say, non-taxable capital will be treated as non-taxable capital rather than being a deemed remittance of foreign income.